Good morning. How are you? Sam Williams, member, walked by me before the first service. I had my leg propped up. And she said, "Do they only let you preach when you're broken?" And I said, "I hope so. Because if you're not broken, you shouldn't preach." How about that? So, today, we're going to look in a minute at Mark chapter 10, verse 46 through 52. You can, if you're slow, go ahead and get a head start. But let me tell you that I love hero stories. A TV show, doesn't matter. I love a hero story. My early endeavors in reading focused on biographies. Jim Thorpe, Amelia Earhart, Harriet Tubman, a host of presidents, and a host of sport figures. I like a good story. I love the Gospels. I love the Jesus biography part. It excites me. Mark tells a story about a down and out man who beats the odds and moves from dark to light. Today, we're going to look at this story on the surface, and then maybe dig down a little, find you a nugget to put in your pocket and take home. Matthew and Luke open with the birth story of Jesus. Matthew makes a list. Luke, you know the famous Christmas story. John starts with, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And Mark starts by telling us about John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus. In Mark, Jesus hits the ground running. He proclaims the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God. He calls disciples. He heals the sick. He teaches the crowds, and he casts out demons. Jesus exercises his authority because he is the Son of God, the Messiah. So when we get to chapter 10, the place we're going to land today, it opens with Jesus teaching on divorce. Now, religious leaders were being religious leaders and asked Jesus about divorce. And Jesus tells him, you know, it was never God's plan for his children to get divorced. Divorce is always contrary to God's plan and purpose. It's upside down. It's backward. It's wrong. In verse 13, there's what seems like an unrelated story involving children and Jesus. In the first century, adults treated children as insignificant. They had a very minor social status. Parents loved their children. But in general, kids, you know, you've seen them. In chapter 10, parents are bringing their bundles of joy to Jesus for him to bless. The disciples did not see bundles of joy. They saw snibbling little brats. I know. So they were going to shush them away. They decided Jesus was too busy, too important to waste his time hugging on children. Jesus saw the children for who they were and for who they could be. I want to repeat that because it's paramount to our message today. Jesus saw the children for who they were and who they could be. It's the disciples who are rebuking both the parents and the children. Rebuking is a harsh word. It's the opposite of friendly. It's the opposite of loving. It's opposite of Jesus serving the disciples. It's not a, "Hey, Jesus is really tired right now. You can imagine how tough our trip has been. Maybe you could come back later after he's rested." No. Rebuking is harsh, mean. The disciples are the problem, not the children, not their parents. The disciples did not want to be bothered. They think they should communicate how important Jesus is and how far they will go to protect him. They are wrong. Jesus wanted to see the children. He let them climb on him, dirty hands and all, hugged him, put his hands on him, blessed him. He wanted the disciples to see what kind of person could follow Jesus. In that culture, even though children didn't have a high place in society, they were humble. They were needy. Children haven't figured out life yet. They haven't made their plans. Children are still innocent and teachable. And Jesus said to his disciples and to us, the kingdom of God is inhabited by those who are like these children. For you to get there, you need to come like a child. When you do, here's the rest of the verse. He took them in his arms. He laid his hands on them and he blessed them. So from there, we're now down to verse 17. There's an encounter with a good man who said no to following Jesus. Stuff was more important. Then he told the disciples what it takes to follow him. As they near Jerusalem, he is going to tell them that he's going to be handed over to the authorities and crucified. The disciples already think they're YouTube famous. And in verses 44 through 45, Jesus tells them, if you're trying to be first, if you want to be seated at my right hand, you must be willing to serve all. Then he tells them, he did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for everyone. He was going to pay a debt that he did not owe. Whenever you look at a cross, I hope you remember what it represents. We're now to verse 46. So if you will, turn to Mark 10, verse 46. And let's stand together as we read God's word. Mark 10, 46. They came to Jericho. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the road. When he heard that it was Jesus, the Nazarene, he began to cry out, Son of David, Jesus, have mercy on me. Many people told him to keep quiet, but he was crying out all the more, Have mercy on me, Son of David. Jesus stopped and said, Call him. So they called the blind man and said to him, Have courage, get up. He's calling for you. So he threw off his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. Then Jesus answered him, What do you want me to do for you? Rabbi, the blind man told him, I want to see. Go your way, Jesus told him. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he could see and began to follow him on the road. You can be seated. I love this story. As we read it, chew on it, digest it. We need to see it through the lens of the whole chapter, through the whole book, through the entire Bible. I'm not sure I would have acknowledged the blind beggar. If I realized he was blind, I probably would have snuck by him as quietly as a ninja. If he asked, is anyone there? I probably wouldn't have answered. I like to get from point A to point B with no distractions. I would have needed to do the 18 miles in 7 hours or less. I'm not sure I would have stopped and heard him. Maybe if he was the only one and I couldn't get around him, I don't know. In verse 46, we see that this story takes place on the road from Jericho to Jerusalem. Jesus is going to Jerusalem, the end of his ministry, the end of his life. Jesus and his disciples had some adventures together already. This is the last healing story before Jesus enters Jerusalem. Mark records two BMHs, blind man healings, if you didn't know, in Jesus' ministry. The other incident of a BMH is in Mark chapter 8, verse 22. On that day, Jesus used the mud, spit, and rub technique. It took two applications, but BMH number one was successful. It seems Jesus wants the disciples and us to pay attention to sight and blindness. The disciples, they weren't catching on. They were busy thinking about their days of glory, their days of triumph, when success would come. And even after all the feeding, healing, and teaching, they missed Jesus' point. They still seem blind in a way. Just before this story, the disciples were arguing over who would sit at Jesus' right hand. Jesus says, "Whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be the servant of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many." The point is not about going for power or status, but letting go and aiming down, not up. In verse 46, they come to Jericho and meet Bartimaeus. I always thought that was his name. As a child, I thought his name was blind Bartimaeus. I thought his mother, when he came out, said, "Oh, look at little blind Bartimaeus." I don't know why. Several years ago on our church-wide mission trip, I asked Truman Fancher to walk over to a senior adult and suggest that she move into the shade so she wouldn't overheat. It went like this. "Hey, Truman, would you go tell Meemaw to come over here on these bleachers and get out of the sun?" Truman went over, engaged her in conversation, but returned without her. And he looked at me and said, "I don't think her name was Meemaw." I tried to explain. I used Meemaw as an identifier for anyone older than me. And he said, "I just did what you asked." Blind meant he could not see. It's a little unclear if he'd ever been able to see, or if he lost his sight somewhere along the way in his life. He was blind. He was broke. He was a beggar. Bartimaeus means the son of Timaeus. If you're Tim and you're a junior, then you're probably little Timmy. It would have been better for me had Mark said, "Little Timmy, who was blind, sat on the side of the road." I'm going to go with Bartimaeus. It's all we have. You probably should know it's probably Bartimaeus. But I'll stay Southern ignorant. If you're a note taker, I got 6 J phrases for you. Some of you are now happy. The first is Jericho to Jerusalem. We're not going to take time today to discuss Joshua and the battle of Jericho, where the walls came tumbling down. It took 13 trips around the city, but God gave a tremendous victory. It's worth reading if you're unfamiliar with it. But you got to believe that while they're passing Jericho, somebody, probably a guy, it probably would have been me, looked at a pile of rubble and said, "Hey, that's part of the walls before Joshua came." Because locals do that. Mark tells us there was a large crowd. Something has been happening here. They're following Jesus. Jericho at that time was a dangerous place. The people who were fighting against the Roman Empire, they would hide out there. It was a place of turbulence, a place of disturbance. And it's here that our story begins. Jesus, the disciples, and a crowd walking down the trail toward Jerusalem. Note takers, number 2, begging for a job. I don't know who made up the crowd. We do know that Bartimaeus was there. He was probably sprawled out like a man who was there for the duration. you could look and see, been here a while. He had probably been led there by a family member so he could ask for money because that was his job. He would have been clothed, but probably not dressed for success, unless you're a successful beggar. And he had a tarp. The scripture says coat. In my world, in backpacking world, it would have been a tarp. We use those for everything. But I pulled out the closest thing I had to a coat. It's one of them Carhartts. You know, they're bombproof. And I can put this on my head. If it's raining, I can kind of make a tent and hide in it. If I'm cold, I can put it on around me. If I need to sit down on the ground, I could, you know, make a seat. That's what Bartimaeus would do. He would throw his cloak on the ground. It's nice because if people threw money and they missed, it would have landed right there in his space. And it was his identifier. It was his sign that he was a beggar. While blind, it seemed his other senses worked fine. We know he could hear. He'd heard of Jesus. He could touch. He grabs and tosses his tarp. And he gets to taste the sweet grace that Jesus is about to give him. It was delicious. Note takers number three, Jesus, son of David. He hears, Bartimaeus hears that Jesus and company are passing. He cries out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." I don't know what he was expecting. I don't know what he had heard. But the crowd reacted as soon as the word slipped out of his mouth. Here I want to remind you of Jesus and the children and the disciples. The disciples told the parents and the children, "Leave Jesus alone." You can't imagine how tough our trip has been. Maybe you could come back after he's rested. I don't know who started it. But someone began telling him to, note takers number four, just be quiet. I wanted to use the S word here because I think that's what they said, but Patty, kindergarten teacher, not allowed in our house. They gave him grief. They rebuked him, which is a harsh word. It probably included the S word. He should have just been quiet. After all, he would need to come back here tomorrow to sit in the same place and beg for money. He didn't stop. He cried out all the more, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." It's one thing that a blind beggar recognized the name of a local legend. Somebody near him probably whispered, "Hey, that's Jesus and his band of followers. He's probably going to Jerusalem to the temple." Yeah, they say he healed a blind man down near Bethsaida. Say he spat into some mud, put it on his eyes, and twice he could see. Amazing. Shh, Bartimaeus is sitting right there. Oh, he's shouting. He's calling Jesus. Oh, my, bless. It's one thing that he heard that Jesus knew the BMH, the blind man healing. With a little mud, a little spit, he's ready to go. It's something to be good at begging. You learn the algorithm. Pleading for alms to the crowd, generating the tossing of money on the tarp for the blind man. He shouldn't have messed this up. It's a sweet place. But he chunked everything. Disobeyed the crowd. And cried out even more. I read the scripture. I like to picture. So I'm going to ask you to picture with me a trail. Got it? Semi-flat. A tarp. The blind man. Close enough to make the money toss plausible. far enough not to be a trip hazard. Locals, disciples, don't know. Crowd telling you to shut up. You hear your voice resonating above the angry crowd, pleading, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." You know, we can read people. We say something and we look for their reaction. When you're blind, you don't know. He doesn't know if Jesus heard him. He doesn't know if Jesus, like the disciples have been, not now, give me a break. He doesn't know, but he believes that Jesus can fix him. So he cries out all the more. He keeps yelling. The social codes haven't worked for him. He decides to go all out. In our society, a blind man shouting at a rabbi would be like a homeless person yelling for a CEO for help. Jesus had talked against these very social codes. Being great by being the servant. The Son of Man not coming to be served, but to serve. It seems backwards, upside down, wrong. The disciples in the crowd had just heard the message, but they slipped right back into their habits of treating the outcast like the marginalized. I was part of the challenge course industry for several years. I built lots of ropes courses, trained facilitators, worked with groups. In several of our activities, if a group failed, there would be a consequence, usually a bandana tied around their eyes. They became blind. In almost every group, that person immediately fell out of any leadership role. They weren't taken care of by the rest of the group, and for the rest of that challenge, they were just called blind guy or blind girl. They lost their identity. We don't do a good job when it comes to helping those who are in need. Jesus' response was different. Jesus didn't respond like a typical CEO would have been expected to respond. Jesus hears Bartimaeus crying out, and he responds to that cry. He stops what he's doing. He stands still. He offers his time and his attention to Bartimaeus. Bring him to me. Go get him. I want to see him. I want him to see me. That's not in there, but oh my goodness, it's about to be. Then the crowd that he had heard and felt, because, you know, when you're blind, people speak louder. "Hey, have courage. He's calling for you. Grab my hand. I'll take you to him." Number 5, jumped up, throwing his tarp aside. In verse 50, Jesus threw off, Bartimaeus threw off his coat. He jumped up and went to Jesus. He throws off his coat. He tosses his tarp and approaches Jesus. It didn't say he felt around for the coins. It didn't say he looked for his piece of bread or his bottle of water. He tossed everything, jumped up, and approaches Jesus. It's interesting that the rich man in verses 17 through 22 had trouble giving up his riches, but Bartimaeus immediately throws it all away. You could argue, yeah, but the rich man had so much. To which Jesus would respond, then he had too much. If you aren't willing to give away everything, you can't follow Jesus. Bartimaeus responds by throwing away his symbol of his place as a beggar and with energy comes to Jesus. They stand there face to face. Jesus, looking at Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus, not looking at anything because he's still blind. Jesus says to Bartimaeus, What do you want me to do for you? Hello. He's blind. He's a beggar. He's broke. He's an outcast. He could use a new tarp or money or a girl. Better friends, two goats and a chicken. He could use a shower. He answers, I want to see. It's the same question Jesus asked the disciples in verse 36. Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? He gets a completely different answer. The disciple James and John said, we'd like to sit next to you and reign for all eternity. Jesus said, you don't have a clue what you're asking. To be great, to be the best, you have to serve the worst, the outcast, the broken, the blind, the parents, the children. Jesus' response to Bartimaeus is different. He says, go your way. Your faith has healed you. Note takers, number 6, journey. He followed Jesus. Immediately. Mark loves a good immediately. Immediately, Bartimaeus regained his sight and followed him on the way. Can you imagine? You can close your eyes and open them and think you can imagine. He was looking at the face of Jesus, who had just healed him, and said, go live your life. And he said, I have no life without you. And immediately he followed Jesus. He regained his sight. He followed Jesus on the way. Jesus didn't ask Bartimaeus to follow him. He didn't say, let me heal you and then you follow me. He said, go your way. His way was with Jesus. Note takers, number 6, journey. He followed Jesus. We have needy people that stop by the church. I don't know if you know that. Just last week, Marcia came into my office and said, we have a lady at the door who needs a shower. It turns out she needs a shower was an understatement. She needed a shower. And then Marcia turned in to Jesus. She cared. She asked me, can we provide a shower? I said, we can provide a shower if you will take her across the street to the annex. Hey, I've got some detergent. Maybe we could wash her clothes. Hey, wait, I've got some soap and shampoo. I have a clean towel. Hey, wait, I have a new brush. You'll have to take her to the annex. I'm going to have to leave soon and go to the doctor. Wait, what about food? Does she need food? Surely I can find some food. I went to Jennifer's office thinking, you know, maybe she'd have a little Debbie. She had a portable pantry. I chose the chicken and rice. The first time I saw the lady, she was making noodles in our microwave. And when I first saw her, she needed a shower. Then I left for my doctor's appointment where I found out I would be having surgery on Monday. I forgot about the lady. It turns out Marcia, Jennifer, and Brenda became Jesus and loved on her. They fed her. They washed her nasty clothes. And when Marcia was telling me about it, she said, you know, she didn't smell nearly as bad as you might think. It's amazing what being obedient will do for you. As the lady was leaving, showered, fed, she was thankful. She said that we have been kind and loving. On Friday, I came in to work on the sermon. I saw the brush. This brush, it's Revlon, red. I had never used it. It was an emergency. So I gave it to her, and then I realized she didn't take it with her. It hurt my feelings because I didn't want to throw it away, and I didn't want to keep it. She needed a shower. But I will keep it to remind me that as a follower of Christ, I will be given the opportunity to be Jesus. or to be the disciples, or to be the religious leaders. I want to choose Jesus every time to everyone. This story is about a man who wants to get to Jesus. He had been planted close enough to shout to him. His family wanted him to beg for money, to do his job. Don't make waves. The crowd was trying to keep him from Jesus. Just be quiet. His blindness was trying to keep him from Jesus. If I could just see. He did not allow his pride or his situation or his family or the crowds or the disciples to keep him from Jesus. He cried out all the more. He needed to get to Jesus. Once you know, you got to do something about it. And you shouldn't let anything or anyone keep you from getting to Jesus. Someone in the crowd who had been trying to silence him grabbed his hand and led him to Jesus. Right after he threw his tarp aside, they knew he was for real and they helped him get where he needed to go. I wasn't there the day Gerald Simmons, First Baptist Church of Milan, threw his tarp aside and decided to follow Jesus. I heard him tell the story many times. He was a church member, a deacon, a Sunday school teacher, committee member, really nice guy. He had been teaching Sunday school. The lesson was on what it means to follow Jesus. You should toss your tarp and give him everything. When the class was over, he went to his car to put his teacher's book away. And as he sat there, he realized, I have never really become a Christian. So right there in his car, he prayed a prayer of repentance, asking for forgiveness and dedicating his life to following Jesus. When Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? He said, I want to see. Immediately, he followed him. He marched right into the service, right down to the front row. Worship was already going on. Sat down, looking intently at the pastor. The pastor knew something was up. Cut his sermon short. Imagine that. On the first note of the invitation, Brother Gerald went to Brother Don and said, I have become a Christian today. And the pastor said, are you sure? He had everybody fooled. Yes, I am. Mr. Gerald was never the same. Now, you wouldn't really know, because he was a really nice man. After he got saved, he was still an incredibly nice man who had a passion to follow Jesus. He could not have a conversation with anyone where he didn't talk about Jesus. He could not have a conversation with anybody without knowing for sure that they had stood before Jesus and heard him ask, what do you want me to do for you? The invitation is simple. Who or what are you? Can you admit that at best you are a blind, broke beggar? Are you willing to stand up to the crowd who want you to be quiet, because we don't want blind, broke beggars in our church? Are you willing to toss your tarp and trade it for a new life? Are you willing to journey with Jesus no matter what the cost? We need revival. It starts with you. Jesus is calling you. While you may be blind, you're not deaf. So today, jump up, toss your tarp, and follow Jesus. If you can't get here by yourself, look at somebody and say, go with me. Well, they love leading the blind. Look at the person next to you. Maybe today is the day you need to say, would you like for me to go with you? Jesus is calling. We'll be up here representing him. Today, do not leave here blind, broken, or begging. toss your tarp and start your journey with Jesus. You know, on that day, we know Bartimaeus was there and that he was blind. But we don't know if there were any other blind people on the side of that road who didn't open their mouth and they went home blind and said, if only I had shouted out. Stand with me as we pray. Father God, I thank you for today. I pray that today we will realize that we're just blind, broke beggars who need you.